This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dah wa la ummata ba'dah ummatihi wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين وقال تعالى إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I said previously, just before the dua, the night of Laylatul Qadr is Allah Ta'ala has kept it concealed in the last nights of Ramadan, the last 10 nights. And more specifically or more likely in the odd nights. And one of the reasons why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has done so is that you and I, we pursue the nights of Laylatul Qadr and we spend as much of time as possible in ibadat, in remembering Allah, in turning towards Almighty Allah, in salat, zikr, tilawat, dua, so that in that searching we will do more and more. If we know first, for example, this is a specific night it is, we will make ibadat on that night and that will be it. But when we don't know which night it is, we will spend and exert our effort and spend more time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us to remember Him. Not that Allah needs it, but Allah ta'ala has kept it and Allah loves us to turn towards Him. But more for our benefit rather than increasing the greatness of Almighty Allah. For the reality is that even as comes in a hadith that each and every one of you were to become the most pious of people, it would not make one iota of difference to Allah's greatness. And if each and every human being becomes the worst type of sinners, it still won't make one iota of difference to Allah's greatness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain great. Allah is masjood, worthy of making sijda to, whether you make sijda to Him or not. He is ma'bood, He is worthy of worshipping, whether you worship Him or not. Allah ta'ala doesn't need our ibadah. We need Allah. And Allah ta'ala loves us turning towards Him. So this is one thing that Allah ta'ala wants us to turn towards Him. Something similar. For example, it comes in a hadith that there are certain phrases and praises of Allah which is known as Ism-e-Azam, the great names of Allah, the great qualities of Allah. Now that also Allah Ta'ala has kept it hidden. Why Allah has kept it hidden is that we praise Allah with different phrases. So ulama and scholars throughout the history have said, and sometimes there is indication from the hadith also, that this could be Ism-e-Azam. But why Allah wants and kept it hidden? That we praise Allah with different names, with different qualities, with different attributes. So it increases our rewards. So my dear respected brothers, this is the night that we turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, we must keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has different qualities. Maybe in a way, for lack of a better word, to say Allah has different states. One state and one quality of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah has made mention in the Quran, Allah ta'ala is the King of all kings. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say unto the people of people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, Allah is Malikul Mulk, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Master of all masters. And everyone who can be great, no matter how great a master he is, no matter how much of power and authority he has in this particular world, Allah Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala destroys everything on the day of Qiyamah, الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْآزِفَةِ إِذَا الْقُلُوبُ لَدَى الْحَنَاجِرِ كَاظِمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, when Allah Ta'ala destroys the entire creation, everything will be destroyed. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will call out, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Whose power and authority it is today? All those who used to take pride in their power and their authority, which in reality today's power and authority, you know, to use a phrase, it is like the power and authority of the king in the pack of cards. Now, what is the reality of that king in the pack of cards? You know, that is our reality, our power and authority, and the power and authority of all the rulers of the world compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives us rope to show us ultimate power and authority. But Allah Ta'ala one day will seize that rope. And Allah Ta'ala describes it in the 24th Juz of the Holy Quran, that Allah, when He destroys the entire creation, Allah will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Whose power and authority is it today? And no one will reply, because everyone will be destroyed. And Allah Ta'ala will say, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Only the one, the great Allah, Qahar, the most powerful. So one state of Allah Ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of all kings, the ruler of all rulers, the master of all masters. And not only the kingdom, Allah Ta'ala says, مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء. He gives power and authority to whomsoever He wishes. This is the reality. Sometimes we like it, we don't like it, but the reality is Allah Ta'ala gives people power. Allah Ta'ala gives them authority. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's statement is made mentioned in the 9th surah of the Quran. قال موسى لقوم استعينوا بالله واصبروا إن الأرض لله. Oh people who are, you know, you have been oppressed, have sabr, have steadfastness. إن الأرض لله. Allah Ta'ala, the earth belongs to Almighty Allah. He gives power and authority to whomsoever He wishes for the wisdom that He wishes. Why? Allah Ta'ala knows. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, I am the King of Kings. I even give temporary power and authority to people and to, you know, different type of powers and authorities we give to the same extent. Now there is one state of Almighty Allah. That state of Almighty Allah Ta'ala demands that you and I, we appear before Almighty Allah in complete humility and submission. Allah is the King of all kings. He is the ruler of all rulers, the ultimate power, the ultimate authority. And our state in Salat is indicative of that type of relationship, where Allah is the King of all kings. We are, you know, the servants of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at everything with regard to Salah. It is like you standing in front of someone who is all powerful, the King of all kings. You put your, you know, hands in the most respectful position. You go down into ruku, you go down into sijda. All of that is indicative of that type of relationship. You are the lowly servant. Allah is the King of all kings. There's another relationship of Allah Ta'ala, another quality, another state that you and I, we don't pay sufficient attention to. And that is the state of Allah Ta'ala's mahbubiyat. We call it mahbub in the Arabic and Urdu language, where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is a beloved in the true sense. You and I, we are seeking the love of the beloved. Allah Ta'ala has all the qualities and all the grace and all the elegance that evokes the feeling of love. And we are the ones seeking the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, in today's time, when we talk of love, we only know one type of love. And that is a love which is between male and female. At least that's also a ghanimat in today's time. That's also a, you know, great ni'mat in today's time. But anyway, that is the only type of love we know. And unfortunate to say, you know, we in today's time, we have become so, you know, depraved in many ways, that when we talk of love, it is also many a times, you know, illicit type of relationship. Then we call it love. But you know, that is not the true love. Love is, to the real love is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are different stages of relationship between human being and someone else. And Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention of all of those relationships towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the first stage of relationship with anyone, you are inclined towards a person. So let's say, for example, you are starting to get married and you are, someone told you, you went on the samosa run or whatever it is, then you saw someone, the first stage that happens is you are inclined to that person. So you're inclined, whether it be from the girl to the boy or the boy to the, so there's inclination. That's the first stage of relationship. So Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran in the 10th surah says, وَإِنَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاغِبُونَ. To Allah Ta'ala should you be inclined towards. If there is any inclination, your inclination to be to Almighty Allah. Now, after that particular first stage, by logical, the next stage is what? The next stage is desire. So first you are inclined, then you start desiring. So you said, all right, now here is something that, you know, it is worthy that I start desiring the person. First there was an inclination, then there is a desire. So Allah Ta'ala in the 17th Supara makes mention, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا. Whomsoever you worship and ask for assistance besides Allah, they can't create a fly. And if the fly retrieves something from someone and takes away something from someone, and it takes it away, you can't retrieve it. So if the fly takes away something from the most powerful human being in this world, he can't take it back. And that is a reality with regard to our weakness of the people who ask and the people who are, you know, summoned or requested to help other people. Allah Ta'ala says, "Zawfat talibu wal maktub." Very weak are the people who desire someone besides Allah, and very weak are the people and the ones that people desire besides Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has made mention the first stage of relationship, inclination towards Almighty Allah, desire towards Almighty Allah. Then now, just by the very nature of things, you incline towards someone, then you desire someone, then you fall in love. And how Allah has put it, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. The believers are intense in their love for Allah. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intensely. Now wherever did we ever think about love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we think about this particular relationship with Allah, every aspect of our life will take a complete new dimension. Every aspect. We will make namaz with a different type of feeling and love. Because, you know, now we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala says, the believers love Allah ta'ala intensely. But where do we find that type of desire, that inclination, that love for Allah ta'ala? That, you know, ibadah that we make, you know, as if it is filled with the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is love for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is missing in our life today. It is, you know, there's a vacuum that we don't have that love for Almighty. Then if you realize that you have that love for Almighty Allah, you would not want to displease your beloved. So just look at it from a you know, worldly perspective. When you are in love with someone, now someone they say, then there is a particular saying that they say, when you're in love with someone and then you're spending time with them, then the time passes. They say love makes time pass. But you see, this type of relationship with human being, it's all very finicky. So love makes time pass. So in the initial stages, you love the time that you spend with your beloved. But after a while, time makes love pass. So love makes time pass and time makes love pass. After a while, you don't have that particular type of, you know, that passion and that intensity that you had before. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have the love of Almighty Allah in the true sense, the more you start worshipping Allah, the more you turn towards Almighty Allah, the more will your love increase. And one of the, you know, things that I find very tragic in today's time is the great alim who spoke most about the love of Almighty Allah, perhaps in our history, was Imam Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi. And you see his quotations with regard to love for Almighty Allah. In fact, one of the tragedies, in fact, you know, I sometimes it irks me, and you know, I just find it so difficult to bear, when those quotations of love that he had composed with regard to love for Almighty Allah, and then you see people's status, they love someone, they're using Rumi quotes. Subhanallah, what a tragedy. وَتُشَيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ ظُلْمٌ. It is a zulm and injustice to put something in its improper place. Imam Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, whenever he spoke about love, he didn't speak about love between boyfriend and girlfriend. And then, you know, everyone is using it, sending the Rumi quotes to the girlfriend. Ya Allah. Rumi spoke about the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the people are using those particular quotes. So anyway, that is the third stage. And the last stage is reserved for Almighty Allah, where you put your, you know, you sit down, you make sit down in front of Allah Ta'ala. That is only Allah, so Allah only for Allah Ta'ala. And someone has put it in a beautiful, and sometimes it is in a zikr, La marhubi illallah, la matlubi illallah, la mahbubi illallah, la ilaha illallah. There is no inclination but to Allah. There is no desire but to Allah Ta'ala. There is no love but for Allah Ta'ala. No, there is no one worthy of worship but Allah. So this is something that you and I, you know, we don't worship anyone besides Allah. There's a very interesting incident that I read. Mufti Taqi Usmani, when his spiritual mentor, Dr. Abdul Sahab Arafi rahmatullahi passed away, so he wrote a book with regard to his spiritual mentor, Dr. Abdul Arafi. I had the opportunity of seeing him, and you know, at that time, when you were students, you were young, you don't appreciate and value. Now you realize that they were such great people. But you know, my ustad used to say, Talib ilm bacha hota hai. A student is like a king. He don't worry about anything else. He only worried about his own particular, you know, situation, sometimes his own, you know, ease, comfort. You know, only thereafter he realizes the opportunities that he had when he was a student. Sometimes it's too late. So anyway, Dr. Abdul Arafi Rahmatullah Ali, he even performed the janazah of our founder of our madrasa, Mohan Yusuf Binur Rahmatullah Ali. So there was one incident about him that he wrote it. I found it absolutely amazing. He said, one day a person came to Dr. Abdul Arafi Rahmatullah Ali and he said, Dr. Sahab, our ibadat is useless. Our ibadat is absolutely useless. You know, it's not worthy of presenting before Almighty Allah. So Dr. Abdul Sahab Rahmatullah Ali told him, yes, it is not worthy of presenting before Almighty Allah, especially weakness. Our ibadat, what is our ibadat? What is our salat in today's time? It is very, very weak. You know, so he said that yes, our ibadat is very weak, but don't say it is useless. It is very valuable. Even if it is not in the greatest of states or the way we are supposed to perform it, but it is not useless. So when he insisted and he said, no, it is useless, to rectify him, Dr. Abdul Arafi Rahmatullah Ali said, if your sijda and your ibadat is so useless, make sijda in front of me. And he said, Astaghfirullah, how can I make sijda in front of you? How can you even suggest something like that? He said, if you can't make sijda in front of anyone but Allah, it is not useless. If your ibadat and your sijda is only for Almighty Allah, you have never done sijda in front of anyone else. And in fact, our situation is, even with regard to people who go to, you know, certain types of classes, you know, the karate classes and all of that, we are not allowed to bow down excessively, because we say that is reserved for Almighty Allah. So that sijda, which we have kept only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter it is weak, it is not useless. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that the means of our forgiveness. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. Those who have iman and they don't intermingle the iman with zulm, with oppression and injustice. And look at the books of tafsir. All of them say, here the word zulm means those who after iman do not worship and make sijda in front of anyone else. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. They are the people whom Allah will grant safety, sometimes immediately and sometimes after some time. We make dua, it happens immediately, inshallah. We must make dua, Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yadkhuluna al-jannah. Allah Ta'ala grant us jannah without hisab. And Allah Ta'ala grant us jannah to the very first instance. Say ameen, inshallah. So all our, these are the two states and the two relationships. One, Allah Ta'ala is the king of all kings. And one, Allah Ta'ala is the beloved. Now in being the beloved, now when you need something that you regard someone your beloved, you like to see the beloved, right? You like to see the beloved. So that is why that Nabi Akram Sahasun said, even when you get married, go and see the woman you are supposed to get married. So it increases love. Now the situation is that here in this world, we can't see our beloved. We can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it in the 9th surah of the Holy Quran. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, show me your didar. I want to see you. Musa alayhi salam was kaleem. And you see, a kaleem, the one who speaks to Almighty Allah, he used to converse with Allah Ta'ala. And there was a certain degree, because he used to converse with Allah Ta'ala, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used to make requests that normally other anbiya did not make, because there was that particular type of relationship. Well, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention with regard to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Ta'ala says that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came and Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him nabuwat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Oh Musa, what is in your right hand? Right? So he could say, all he had to say, it was my walking stick. قَالَ هِيَ أَسَىٰ. But what did he say? أَتَوَكَّوُ عَلَيْهَا. This walking stick, I use it to rely upon, and when I need to walk and sometimes I'm tired, I use my to bend, or to support me, أَتَوَكَّوْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي. And I use this walking stick to gather my animals, my sheep. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعَارِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. And there are many benefits with regard to my walking stick. Allah Ta'ala only asked him what it is.
Allah didn't tell him to give the whole sifat of the walking stick, but Musa alayhi salam was kaleem. Musa used to speak. And there are many amazing, requests Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that relationship. And one day he asked Allah ta'ala, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk, oh Allah, I want to see you. So Allah ta'ala says, lan tarani, oh Musa, you can't see me in this world. وَلَكِنْ انْظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. Look at this mountain. If the mountain stay on its place, then perhaps you will be able to see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. When Allah Ta'ala revealed His magnificence to the mountain, and in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he read this ayat, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when interpreting this ayat, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on that particular day, Hazrat Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala just revealed this but of His magnificence to the mountain. Just this bit. Now, can you imagine sometimes you see the pictures of Mount Everest and the Himalaya mountains and the mountain ranges, and Allah Ta'ala just gives that little bit of His magnificence. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلْ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى. The mountain was raised to pieces. Came down, raised to pieces to the ground. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلْ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّهُ وَخَرَّ مُوسَى سَعِقَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam fell down unconscious. فَلَمَّا عَفَاق. And when he regained consciousness, says Allah in the Quran, Subhanak, he said, glory be to you Allah. I make a tawbah that I have asked you and a request that I would not be able to fulfill in this world. Allah Ta'ala will make us see Him on the day of Qiyamah in Jannah. Say, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala grant us. وجوه يوم إذن ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. That day faces will be radiant when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, the great scholar, has said, the first time human being set sight upon Almighty Allah in Jannah, his first gaze will last for 800,000 years. You will see Allah ta'ala for such a long time. There is no concept of time in Jannah. So that is our seeing the beloved. Here you see such beautiful scenery and you get carried away. How beautiful is the scenery? How beautiful Allah Ta'ala is? Look at this particular scenery. Look at this angle. Can you imagine the one who created all this beauty? What would be his beauty? So one sign of the beloved seeing Allah is, inshallah, it will happen in Jannah. And one is where Allah Ta'ala's tajalli comes down. Allah Ta'ala comes down to meet us. And that is what happens on the night of Laylat al-Qadr. Now you understand the importance. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Laylatul Qadr has been used 3 times in the Holy Quran. From Surah Fatiha till Surah Nas, there's only 3 times Allah has used the word Laylatul Qadr in the Holy Quran. With the words Laylatul Qadr. Ulama have said, and I just read that someone, one Arab, Ali was speaking about this. In Layla there are 4 words. Lam, Ya, Lam, Ta. Right? Laylatul Qadr and Al-Qadr, there are 5 words. So 4 and 5 is 9. 9 times 3. So 3 times it is made mention. 3 times Laylatul Qadr is made mention. 9 words. 9 times 3 is 27. So inshallah I told you the 27 line. So just giving you the permutations. Inshallah it will be. So Allah Ta'ala says, Tanazzalul Malaikatu wa Ruh. Allah Ta'ala sent down the angels. And among them is Jibreel. He comes down to meet us. Allah sends His delegation to meet us. فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْ سَلَامٌ فِيهَا تَعْمَتَ الْفَجَرِ. They are giving salam from Almighty Allah till the time of Fajr. Subhanallah. Are we going to sleep on this particular night when Allah Ta'ala sends down His delegation to meet us? And ulama have made mention one of the reasons why Allah Ta'ala sent down the angels. When human being was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels about the creation of humankind. And he said, I am making this human being my representative. My representative. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am creating my representative and my viceroy on this earth, human beings. So they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Are you going to create someone who's going to spill blood, who's going to make corruption, is going to commit guna and sin? Wallah, you're going to create such people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you know not. And Allah ta'ala, according to one riwayat, our ulama say, Allah ta'ala send down the angels. O angels, that creation, whom you are complaining about their creation, go and see them on the night of Qadr. They are worshipping me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to be is standing in front of Almighty Allah, making ibadah, to show the malaika of the correctness of Allah Ta'ala making us representatives. So sad if we do not understand the greatness of what Allah Ta'ala expects from us as the ashraful makhlukat, the best of Allah's creation. Now I can go on making mention, you see, this is also tasawwuf. You know, sometimes we say this, Mawlana always speaks about modern things. I can also speak on tasawwuf. Huh? So when you speak on tasawwuf, I can go even more in depth with regard to the greatness of Almighty Allah. But now let us speak, what does this demand from us? And one of the demands is that we turn towards Almighty Allah in dua. And I want to spend a little bit of time with regard to the importance of dua. Brothers, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to make dua. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught this ummah and humanity dua at a time when people did not know how to make dua. People had forgotten to make dua. They did not know how to ask Allah Ta'ala. They did not know what to say before Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us with regard to it. The people were ignorant. In the days of ignorance, they never remembered Allah. They never knew Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How could it be expected to anyone to turn towards Almighty Allah when they didn't know who Allah Ta'ala is? When you don't know who Allah Ta'ala is, you don't know the power and control Allah Ta'ala exerts over you and the creation, how do you see the need to turn towards Almighty Allah in dua? Now Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us the greatness of Almighty Allah. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Allah has full control over His bondsmen. وَإِيَّ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِذُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. It is equal to Allah whether you relate something in broad daylight or in the darkness of the night, whether you make mention of it in, you know, openly, whether you whisper, Allah Ta'ala knows everything. خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. He knows the treachery of your eyes. He knows what your hearts conceal. Even before you make mention of anything, Allah Ta'ala knows it. When someone is looking at you, you don't know what intention he's looking at you. Sometimes a person can look at you, look at your car, and he could be looking at it in an envious way. Right? You don't know about it. He just saw it. And he said, MashaAllah, apparently. It might be a different looking. But Allah Ta'ala said, I know the treachery of people's eyes. I know what their hearts conceal. Allah Ta'ala has full control over us. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah Ta'ala belongs the heavens and earth, and whatever is between the heavens and earth, and whatever is in the crust of the earth belongs to Almighty Allah. Now you see the need when Allah Ta'ala has full control over you. To show you His control, Allah gives us one example. Hatta idha ja'a ahadakum al-maut, when your time of death comes, tawaffathu rusuluna, He sends one of His messengers, Malikul Maut, and that messenger never ever goes against Allah's commands. No? And then whether you are ready to go or not, whether you are prepared to go or not, and no, he will come and take your life. You can't say, give me another 1 second, or 5 seconds, or 5 minutes. He won't even give you 1 second. He will take it out exactly at that time when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala told him to take it out, your ruh and your soul. But it shows you don't have power and control over your own destiny, over your own life. So when you don't have control and power over your own destiny, you turn to the one who is in control over your power and destiny. That is the reality with regard to dua. And one of the reasons why people stayed away from dua is because one is that Allah Ta'ala is very far. Where is Allah Ta'ala going to listen to us? So Allah Ta'ala refers to that in the second surah of the Quran. The sahaba came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, is Allah Ta'ala far from us that when we make dua, we must say loudly, and you must make dua loudly? Or is Allah Ta'ala near that when we make dua, you know, we must make, you know, soft, we must whisper? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي, when my bondsmen ask you about me, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, tell them, إِنِّي قَرِيب, I am very close to them. I am very close. I am more closer to them than the jugular vein. I am more closer to them than their own selves. Or someone, you know, now Hablil Wareed. For Hablil Wareed, previously we always used to say jugular vein. Recently I heard someone making a translation and said, no, it is the carotid arteries, the artery that links the heart to the brain. That is the most important artery in the human body. Put someone must just, you know, hold it for a little while, you are out. You are gone. Right? So they said that shows how close Allah Ta'ala is to you. So one way that people didn't worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala or didn't make dua, Allah is very far. Where can Allah hear? Allah Ta'ala refuted them. One, you know, misconception, it is something that is very common. And I've heard it being said by many people. We are so weak. We are so gunegar, we are so sinful, We will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listen to us. There is something that comes many a times in our way. So this very same sinful person, this very same sinful person, that he says, I'm so weak and so sinful that I cannot make dua to Almighty Allah. You must one day call him a sinful person. You see, you got full of pride, you got full of sin. You see how angry he gets at you. Then he's no more sinful. But all of a sudden he's sinful when he has to make dua to Almighty Allah. Now you think about this, just think about this. As Imam al-Hasan, Nabi Rahmatullah Ali has made mention with regard to it. And he said, you know, how is it possible for a person to take this argument? When Iblis, when Allah was angry with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled him from the, you know, expelled him from Jannah. And that particular time, he made a request to Almighty Allah. And ulama say he knew, because Iblis made more ibadah than all of us put together. There's not a spell in this earth where Iblis didn't make sijda in front of Allah Ta'ala. So he knew Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala never gets overwhelmed by his anger. So he made dua to Almighty Allah, Anzirni ila yawmi yub'afun. Oh Allah, keep me alive till the day of Qiyamah. Allah knew the reason why he wanted the dua to be accepted. That he wanted to mislead humankind. So Allah Ta'ala says, Anzirni ila yawmi yub'afun. Go, I have kept you alive till the day of Qiyamah. Mu'ab al-Hasan, Nabi Rahmatullah Ali writes, are we more worse than Iblis? Iblis could ask Allah Ta'ala, we can't ask Allah Ta'ala. Are we more worse than Iblis? That Allah, Iblis could make dua to Almighty Allah at such a time, you and I can't make. This is also another deception of shaitan with regard to taking us away from dua. You know, so then these are type of things that we have to keep in mind, that we need to turn towards Almighty Allah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself taught us how to make dua. He himself turned towards Almighty Allah. Mawlana Ataullah Shah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali, one of our great scholars, used to say that he praised Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, Maine ek haseen dekha, I saw a very great human being. Haseen mein ahsan nazar aya, jameel mein ajmal nazar aya, kareem mein akram nazar aya. I saw a human being, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most beautiful of all those who could lay claim to beauty, the most graceful, the most elegant, the greatest human being. Allah Ta'ala took an oath on the city in which he resides, because he resides in that city. La uqsimu bihadha al-balad wa anta illum bihadha al-balad. Allah Ta'ala took an oath on his speech wa qilihi. Allah Ta'ala took an oath on his life. La amruk. Allah Ta'ala says, when he said yes to something, it became halal. Wa ma atakum rasul fakhudu. Wa ma nahakum anhu fantahu. When he said no to something, it became haram. Such a great human being. When I thought for a moment that if I have a problem, I'm going to go to this great human being whom Allah has praised so much. So he said, went through the means of his biography, I went to knock at his door, that maybe he could help me with regard to my challenges. I saw an amazing sight. I saw the people sleeping, and this great human being was crying in front of someone else. He was making dua in front of someone else. He was making dua for you and I, this ummah, in tu'adhibhum. It comes in a hadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read this, you know, dua that Isa alayhi salam made for his ummah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for this ummah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was crying. In tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibadu. Oh Allah, if you punish my ummah, you have the ability and the power to do so. They are your servants, you can do so. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ But if you forgive them, you also have the ability to forgive. You also have the power to forgive. And then this Mu'atawla Shah said, I made a decision. Don't go to such a great human being for assistance. Go to that being where even such great people go and ask assistance. Go to that being where even such great people go and ask assistance from. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then further taught us how to make dua. Look at the depth of his feeling when he came back from Taif, when he was bruised and battered by the people of Taif, and he was wounded. And then he said these beautiful words, Allahumma ilayka ashku du'fa qillati wa. اللهم إليك أشكو ضعف قوتي وقلة هيلتي وحواني على الناس. والله I complain to you about my weakness, the feebleness of my efforts. I have not been able to explain to the people, for them to convince them with regard to the truth that you have sent me with. And you know, someone today just told me, just before Tarawih today, you know, someone sent me a clip where the Imam of Masjid Aqsa was reading the dua. Allah. It was so touching. اللهم إليك أشكو ضعف قوتي وقلة هيلتي. وحواني إلى الناس. Oh Allah, you are أنت رب المستضعفين. You are the Lord of those who are weak. And you are my Lord. إلى من تكلني. إلى أم إلى بعيد يتجحمني. أم عدوي يتجحمني. Have you sent me to my enemies who have control over me? or people who are far from me, strangers over me, and they have control over me. Subhanallah. Ghaira. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, as long as you are not angry with me, as long as you are not angry with me, I don't care. I don't care what they have done to me. غَيْرَ أَنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. But of course, if there would have been ease, you know, without this happening, it would have been even more better for me. I mean, look at the beautiful words and the depth of feeling and the right way of expressing his situation at a time after time. Nabi Karim sallam taught us. And there are so many, there's a book written by one of our great scholars, the Prophet of Almighty Allah, in the mirror of his supplication. And one dua of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's just a short dua, but it you know, resolves so many complex situations. Sometimes, you know, you and I, we can become proud and arrogant. And Allah Ta'ala wants us to be, you know, have humility. Yet at the same time, no one likes to be disgraced. Now, how do you find the right balance between the two? Look at how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resolved that complex fine line with one dua. Allahumma ja'al fi ayni saghira wa fi ayni nas kabira. O Allah, make me insignificant in my own eyes, that I don't get pride, but make me and grant me respect in the eyes of people. If anyone but a Nabi of Allah asks Allah with such beautiful words, O Allah, make me insignificant in my own eyes, but give me respect in the eyes of people. Allahumma ja'al fi ayni saghira wa fi ayni. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Anyway, we can go on. Part of it, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the etiquettes of making dua. One of the etiquettes is, when you make dua, you also find all the means that you must have with regard to dua. You must make all the efforts, and the means must be there. You can't just make dua without putting any effort. And I'll normally give this very broad, very big example that anyone can understand it. You know, so someone heard the Maulana saying that, you know, when you have pious children, the pious children will make dua for you. You know, and they will become the means and the provision for you in the year after. So this person now has become a very Sufi, and he came in the masjid and he's making dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, grant me pious children. Oh Allah, grant me pious children. And he doesn't get married. Where is Allah going to give him that pious children from? From his own stomach. Huh? Until he doesn't get married, Allah is not going to give him. And I take an oath. If a person doesn't get married, he can make how much dua as he want. From here till the day of Qiyamah, it's not going to happen. You have to adopt the means. Then also with regard to it, one beautiful example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you want Allah Ta'ala to accept your du'as in difficulty, then learn to ask Allah Ta'ala in ease. Learn to make du'a to Almighty Allah when things are going well. Not only when things are going bad for you in your life. Nowadays the reality is, you see a person coming in odd hours and different hours to the masjid. Then you say, Bicharo, pay the du'a. That's the reality. I mean, why is it like that? Why do we never turn towards Almighty Allah when we are in difficulty? Allah Ta'ala has made mention of this weakness of human being. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ. When, you know, difficulty comes upon a human being, he asks Allah Ta'ala, قَائِمًا أَوْ قَائِمًا أَوْ قَائِدًا. While sitting, while sleeping, while, you know, resting. Allah, put me out of this difficulty. Put me out. فَلَمَّا تَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala removes the difficulty. He carries on as if he never asked Allah Ta'ala. He stops asking Allah Ta'ala. Learn to ask Allah even in ease, so that Allah can help you when you are in difficulty. Ulama have said, there is a hadith that when a person remembers Allah in ease, now when you remember Allah in ease, obviously there is a different tone in your dua. And when you are asking Allah in difficulty, there is a different tone. Now when you use the tone when you are in difficulty, the angels go to Allah. Ya Allah, this person who used to ask you in ease, Ya Allah, is in difficulty. Ya Allah, look at him, he's crying. Ya Allah, you come to his assistance. Then ulama have also made mention, make dua for other people. You know, Allah Ta'ala will accept your duas. Nabi Karim sallam, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going for Umrah, he came and tell Nabi sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going for Umrah. Nabi sallam said, Ya Ukhayya, la tansana fi du'ai. Oh my small brother, don't forget me in dua. Ya Ukhayya, oh my small brother. Umar said, no sentence and title that Nabi sallam gave me was more pleasing. When Nabi sallam said, oh my small brother, remember me in your du'as. Make dua. Ulama say you make dua for someone who is, you know, strange, another person. The angels make ameen to that dua. Sometimes it can put you in problems also there. So one day a person had a friend who was not married. So he went to the friend and he's telling the friend, may Allah Ta'ala grant you a pious wife. The wife got angry with him. So why are you getting angry? I'm making dua for my friend. He said, no, I know. You are making it because the angel will say, Abin to the dua. You want to get buried again. So you're making dua for him, and you said, you want the angels to say, Abin for you. So anyway, make dua. And then what dua must we make, my dear respected brothers? Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness on this particular night. I don't want to go much into details with regard to it, but really Allah Ta'ala is waiting. Allah Ta'ala loves to forgive us. إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ كَرِيمٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوِ. Allah Ta'ala loves to forgive. Allah Ta'ala loves to forgive. Hatim Asma'i rahmatullahi alayhi says, I was one day in the Kaaba. It was dark. Obviously at that time there wasn't lights, you know. So it was a darkness in the night, and I heard a person who was, you know, singing certain poetry. And it was so touching. يَا مَنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ فِي الظَّلَمِ وَيَا كَاشِفَ الْبَلْوِ يَا كَاشِفَ الْبَلْوَ وَالسَّقَمِ يَا كَاشِفَ الْبَلْوَ مَا السَّقَمِ. Oh no, maybe it's something like that. Oh Allah, the one who removes the distress of the person who falls out in distress. The one who removes the difficulty for a person who is in difficulty. And then one of that particular, you know, poems read something like that. إِنْ كَانَ جُودَكَ لَا يَرْجُودُ سَفَهِ فَمَنْ يَجُودُ بِالْعَاسِينَ بِالْكَرَمِ. Oh Allah, if your rahmat and your mercy is only for the pious people, and only for those who turn towards you, and those who are pious, and those who are awliya, then who's going to show mercy and forgiveness to the sinners? Who's going to show mercy to the forgiveness and the sinners? Ya Allah. So Hatim Asma'i said, I went nearby, and I said, who is singing this most beautiful ashar and poem? And I said, who did I see? I saw Zainul Abidin, the great grandson of our beloved Nabi Akarim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I said, oh great grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are from the family of, you know, Nabi Akarim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You were making such a dua. You are such a noble family. He said, Hatim, you are an alim. How can you say such a thing? You know Allah Ta'ala in the 17th Supara says, فَإِذَا نُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ, when the day of Qiyamah and the trumpet is blown, فَلَا أَنْسَابْ. No genealogy, no lineage is going to help. Only your amal is going to help, and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is going to help. The great grandson of Nabi Akram Sawasim seeking the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah. How much more much you and I should do? And let us turn towards Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala is waiting for us. There are so many examples I can quote, but let me give you an example that comes in the hadith. So there are two situations that come in the hadith. One is a person in the previous time, Nabi Sawasim said he killed 99 people, murdered 99 people. So all of a sudden he had a regret. Said, no, 99, I need to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So he went to an alim, you know, he went to a scholar at that particular time. You know, I won't say now, you know, nowadays you get scholars and you get scholars. So that particular scholar told him that you have no chance for you. You are Jahannam. You know, you're goner. You know? So he said, no, you are goner, you are gone. You know, there's no chance of regret or tawbah for you. So, you know, he completed, you know, 99. So in cricketing terms, he said, let me finish the century. So he killed him also. He killed the alim and told him that there is no regret. I'm not speaking up, this is from the hadith. So then someone told him there's another alim in another place. You know, he is more kind, he's compassion, maybe he will give you some hope. So this person went to that person, and he was going on the way to that village or that city where this alim he was told. And on the way Allah Ta'ala took his life. Now the two sets of angels came. The angels of punishment. This man killed 100 people. And he murdered 100 people. We have to take his soul because it is worthy of punishment. And then the other angels came of rahmat and mercy. And he said, no, he killed 100 people, but he was going to make tawbah. He was going to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And therefore, we have to take his soul because he was on his way for reformation. And Nabi, the matter was brought before Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, measure the distance. Measure the distance. And it was found that he was closer towards the village and city where the alim, where he was going to seek forgiveness, he was closer to that. And Allah Ta'ala said, go and take him, O angels of rahmat and mercy, I have forgiven him. After committing 100 murders. But because his intention was, I want to change. I want to change my life. That reality must come into our life if we want to change. Nabi Akram Sawasim in Jami Tirmidhi spoke about kifal. Kifal used to do all types of, you know, guna and sins. Nearly every second day he had a new woman with whom he used to fulfill his desires. One day he got hold of someone that he was very attracted to and told her, I want to, you know, fulfill my desire with you. She was poor. So she tried to plead with him, I don't have, you know, and said eventually because of her situation, she agreed to sleep with him for 60 gold coins. 60 gold coins. And when they got together and he was about to fulfill his desire with her, she started crying. She started crying. She said, why are you crying? You agreed upon the price. You told me this. She said, I did it because of my circumstances. I didn't do it because I've given to wrong ways and immoral ways. Because of my poverty, I agreed upon this. But I have never done something like this. I have never committed immorality. Why are you forcing me to do so? Because of my circumstances. But also there are people who might take advantage of vulnerable women. So in this particular way, you know, he said, and when he saw her crying, he also started crying. He also made tawbah. After that, Allah Ta'ala took his life. And the people were even reluctant to make his janazah because he had this, you know, reputation with regard to this. Committing immorality. Ya Allah. And it was written on the door after he had passed on, written on his door, that on the next morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him because he made tawbah. Allah is waiting. Many times you and I, we feel, you know, we've committed so many gunas, we make tawbah, then again we make, gunah, then again we make tawbah. Continue making tawbah. No matter even if you break the tawbah 100 times, continue making. As long as you're making tawbah, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will save you from punishment. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah never punishes a people when there are people making istighfar. As long as you're asking Allah for forgiveness, Allah won't punish you, inshallah, al-Aziz, by the declaration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan doesn't get tired of misleading us. Why should we get tired of asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness? Continue asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And talking about Jalaluddin Rumi, rahmatullahi, he said these beautiful verses in Persian. Now, you know, 1976, I did 1 year Persian. So I don't say I know a lot of Persian because now 1976, but there are certain words that are still on the tongue. You know, Name Shumachi, what is your name? Remember that. Anyway, so Imam Jalaluddin Rumi said, Baza, Baza, Harachi, Asti, Baza. Turn towards Almighty Allah. Turn towards Almighty Allah. And ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. No matter what your situation, turn towards Almighty Allah. In kafir, baza, 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 harachi, asfal, yasti, baza. Dar kafir, gabro, good parasti, baza. You have committed kufr, you have committed guna, you have committed the worst type of sin. Turn towards Almighty Allah. E dar gaima, umidinas. This is a door of hope. It is not a door of despondency. Sad bar agar toba shakas. Baza. You broke your toba 100 times, come back to Allah Ta'ala. When our clothes get dirty, we don't throw the clothes away. We put it in our laundry, we wear it again. It gets dirty again, we put it back in the laundry. It gets dirty again, we put it back in the laundry. So similar with regard to us, we commit guna, we wash away our guna and sin. We get dirty again, then again we get washed away. It's like the wipers. The wipers wipe away the rain. After wipe, the rain comes more, the wipers wipe it again. So continue asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Oh, you who have done wrong, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for steadfastness upon iman. Brother, start, ask Allah for steadfastness on iman on this particular night. Don't take it for granted. We are Muslims, we will die as Muslims. Kamathari shaitan if qala lil insani kufr. Shaitan will come to you at the time of your death and say, become a kafir. Falamma kafra, when you utter words of kufr, he will say, I'm free from you and I have no responsibility towards you. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, on his deathbed, people were telling him, say the kalima, and he was said, not yet. So his son, when he regained our consciousness, said, Imam, you know, my father, you are such a great Imam, and we were reading the kalima, and you were saying, not yet. What is it? What is the meaning of this? So he said, oh my son, I was not replying to you. Shaitan came to me, and Iblis came to me and said, Ahmad, you have managed to save yourself from me. You have managed to save yourself from me. And I was saying, not yet. I still got life. There's still a possibility of me going away and being misled. So I wasn't replying to you, I was replying to Iblis who wanted to lull me into a false sense of complacency. Make dua for our children, Allah Ta'ala protect them. Make dua for ourselves. Nowadays it must become common cause that when we leave the home, we leave with dua. Just as you see that I got my wallet and I got my credit card, see to it that you read with dua. More important than your credit card is you must read with leave the house of Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, whoever says Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The angels say when he leaves home reading these words, this is a man that Allah Ta'ala has protected and Allah has guided. And lastly, let me just say two things with regard to acceptance of dua. Allah Ta'ala definitely accepts. Allah Ta'ala says, only astajib lakum. ask of me, I will respond and answer you. Allah doesn't like a person must not ask. Allah gets angry if we don't make dua. Today you and I, we ask a person, even if he's generous, even if he's a family member, even if he's someone that is close to you, one time he'll give you, second time he'll give you, third time he'll give you. By afterwards you continue asking, he'll take another route to avoid you. That this man is going to ask me again. This is human being. Allah Ta'ala says, you don't ask Allah, I get angry. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Those who don't ask of me out of arrogance and defiance, as if they are independent and don't need Allah. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Human being has become rebellious by this fear and this attitude that I am independent. Ya Allah. Huh? So Allah Ta'ala says, if you show rebelliousness by not asking, I will, you know what, disgrace put you in Jahannam. Now Allah Ta'ala will accept. Sometimes how Allah Ta'ala accepts? Allah Ta'ala accepts sometimes immediately. Sometimes you ask Allah Ta'ala and immediately it happens. And sometimes it happens. Many times I've seen it, many times you see people making dua and all of a sudden that particular dua gets accepted. Abu Huraira came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, my mother is abusing you. I can't take it anymore. Ya Allah, make dua Allah Ta'ala grant her hidayat and she must become a Muslim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted his hand. Ya Allah, grant hidayat to the mother of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira said, I ran home to see who reaches first. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the dua with such feeling, I felt Allah Ta'ala is going to accept. So I ran home to see who reached first. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua reached first or I reached first. I knocked at the door. And my mother's voice was so sweet compared to previously, I realized the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached before me. Before me, she became a Muslim. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala grants you immediately. Sometimes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives you after a while. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives you why. Ulama have given this example of, you know, your son comes to you and said, you know, I'm going every day to here and I'm going to work, I'm going to university, I need a car. So the father said, okay, I know you need a car, but you are 17 years, then you are 18, you get license, then I'll give you a car. So he acknowledged the request, but he gave it at a time when it was appropriate for the son to get the car, after he got a license. Right? I'm just giving an example. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives us at that time when we are ready for it. After a while, when it is appropriate for us. Musa alayhi salam made dua, Rabbana atni salam wali. Oh Allah, destroy Fir'aun. Destroy his wealth because he's using the wealth to mislead people. And put a seal on his heart, he must not bring iman until he sees your punishment. We make the same dua for these Fir'auns of this time. No, Allah, you know, you destroy them, Ya Allah. So, no, this particular dua, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam made. And Musa alayhi salam made this dua, Allah Ta'ala says, Qad ujibat da'watukuma. Oh Musa, I accepted your dua. But it took 40 years after that for Fir'aun to be destroyed. After Musa alayhi salam made dua, Allah said, I accept your dua after 40 years. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala takes time. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give us according to our time frame. You know, we expect Allah must just say, so we make dua after Fajr, Ya Allah, destroy America. America must be destroyed. After Zohar, oh Allah, destroy Russia. Russia must be destroyed. After Asr, Ya Allah, destroy China. It doesn't happen that way. Allah Ta'ala got his own time frame with regard to accepting. You know, there's a very interesting incident. Inshallah, I'll finish in the next 5 minutes. Just bear with me. As a Mufti Taqi made a very amazing incident. I made mention of it in Jummah. So he said, a Pakistani person went abroad and he went to Germany and he got married to a German woman. She was a Christian, she was not a Muslim. And he never worried much about his deen until his children came. And many times it happens like that. When your children come up, now you realize your responsibility. You might have led a life of, you know, guna and sin. But all of a sudden your children want, you want your children to be pious. Right? And you have concern with regard to your children. So now the child came and the mother was taking him towards Christian classes of Christianity. And he took umbrage. How can you do so? I'm a Muslim. Even if I'm not practicing, but I'm a Muslim, I come from a Muslim background, you can't do this. And there used to be a lot of great amount of tension and they used to fight. So you see, eventually he wrote to Mufti Taqi Sahib. So Mufti Taqi Sahib gave him one suggestion. He said that you and your wife, every day you will make dua together. The dua you make is, oh Allah, you guide us towards the right religion. You can both make the dua together. Both make the dua together. Oh Allah, you know, guide us towards the right religion. Mufti Taqi Sahib said, I wrote that letter to him, I gave him that particular type of suggestion, that make this particular, maybe it might be a means of the resolving of your situation. He said, I left it. And then after a while, his letter came. And the letter said, we continue making this dua. Until one day, we were driving in the car. And my wife, she was driving or he was driving, and she said, stop. And then she stopped. She started crying. She started crying so profusely. He said, I got afraid. I said, why are you crying? He said, the dua has impacted. I've come to realize. And I have studied Islam is a true religion. Take me to an alim, I want to become a Muslim. This is the power of dua, even in today's time. Now, even in this day and age, can you imagine the power of dua? Allah Ta'ala sometimes gives you after a while. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something better. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives you something better. So an example, so your children came and said, listen, it's coming December, we need to go for a holiday. Long time we didn't go. No, don't you say our cousins are going here, they're going everywhere, and you haven't taken us somewhere. We need to go somewhere. We need to go Thailand, or we need to go Maldives. We want to go to Paris or London. So the father said, okay, I think we need to go somewhere, but instead of all these places, I'll take you for Umrah. So what actually happens, you listen to them, they made the request, you granted them something better than they asked. Allah Ta'ala sometimes give us something better. Although we don't like it, but Allah knows what is in our heart, Allah Ta'ala gives us something better. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the dua we make, there is a calamity that is coming our way. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't grant us what we want, but because of the dua, Allah Ta'ala averts the calamity coming towards us. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't grant us what we want, but Allah Ta'ala saves us from a calamity because of the dua that we are making. And the fourth thing is, it comes in a hadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call human being and say, oh human being, you make dua in this world, you make dua for this and this and this. I didn't give you, but I kept it in store for you. Now in Jannat, I am rewarding you for all the duas that you made and I didn't accept it. I kept it in store for you in the heart. And at that time, human being will say, oh Allah, if only you never accepted any of my duas in the world and you kept everything in the heart. So Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi many years gave this bayan in Utah, it will stick in my mind, you know. So these are five ways Allah Ta'ala accepts du'as. So when we all make du'a to maybe, but some of the things that I have made mention of, you know, we can make another long du'a, but I think what we will do is, I gave you enough guidance to how to make du'a. So you go make du'a for me, make du'a for the ummah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, may Allah Ta'ala grant us hidayah, may Allah Ta'ala make it easy, may Allah Ta'ala accept our efforts, our ibadat and dua. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdih, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, subhana rabbina rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillah.